It was actually the day I met my first girlfriend, actually. Everyone has a different trigger, is what I understand. Some people, it could be a death of a loved one. For some people, it could be a sporting event. In my particular case, it happened to be a girl.
Meeting that girl started his brain recording in vivid resolution everything that came after. And 15 years later, Nima Vese is one of approximately 50 people around the world who have a condition known as Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory, or HSAM, which was only formally identified over the last decade. His brain storing every detail of his life, equally significant or not. Nima didn't even tell his parents he had the condition until 3 years ago when he tried to convey how much of a strange miracle and burden this is.
When you're first starting, you know, as the memories start to accumulate, you don't really quite notice. And then toward the end of high school, people started pointing out things that I would notice or remember that they didn't. It was only later through university, as the accumulation of memories continued, started shifting the way that I was able to concentrate and think, that I started reaching out to professionals to see if what was happening had a name or if there's any way of understanding how to manage the noise that was being caused by the superfluous set of memories that I was accumulating.
And describe the noise. What does it feel like? And I mean, I gather I could do some sort of Rain Man thing where I could just look at a calendar and point to a date and you could come up with something, right?
Oh, yeah. And so for me, it's not as much photographic as many people are used to. It's more like film reel and more familiarly, more like VHS tape. So it's a lot of rewinding and back and forth. And yeah, we could certainly go through any number of dates in the last 16 years and go through it. It would, of course, take a few moments or even minutes, depending on where those bookmarks are within the VHS tapes, to fast forward and rewind. So it's not necessarily the most convenient thing, but if we had the time, we could certainly go on for hours about it.
The condition is called hyperthymesia, first formally identified in 2006, and researchers at the University of California, Irvine, have confirmed just a few dozen cases in the world of minds like this with a record button stuck in the on position. Part of the exceedingly rare trait is now attributed to a higher correlation between the amount of white matter connecting gray matter in the brain. But for Nima Vese, just having a name to explain his vast memory has been a relief.
Almost an entire year of my life is experienced on a daily basis of just memories that come in an involuntary way. One half of it is understanding how the memories are organized within ourselves, which has not only taught me a lot about myself, but has taught me a lot about people around me as well. And the other half of it is that general practices that people consider for self-improvement have been takeaways that I've accumulated over the last 15 years in order to help me through this process.
Now, as you're speaking, you're making pauses, but it sounds like the pauses come from the fact that you're seeing actual pictures of what happened that day. It's racing by in your mind at the moment that you're speaking to me.
Exactly. And that's that's one of the big jokes about when I'm trying to tell a joke, for instance. I often start laughing before I ever tell the joke. And the reason is because in order to remember it and recall it, I go back to the moment in which I first heard it. So at the same time as I'm listening to it, it's as if the first time. So I'm feeling the same joy and giggles as if hearing it for the first time. And I mean, that's really one of the benefits as well, as time completely flattened for you with memories not fading. There are, of course, challenges in the sense that, let's say, for example, you go through a breakup or, you know, someone close to you passes away. The vast majority of people have a great luxury of the half-life of memories slowly fades into the background over weeks, months, and years. Whereas without that, since forgetting is not really a luxury that I have, I have to genuinely learn to forgive, since forgiving and forgetting isn't something that isn't really the easiest thing for me.
I'm thinking of some of the practical or impracticalities of this. I mean, in my particular case, I was paralyzed in an accident, a spinal cord injury, you know, 39 years ago. And I forgot the experience of walking almost immediately and realized that that was a mechanism inside my own brain to allow me to move forward because I wasn't stuck in any of those memories. You don't have that ability.
No, I do not, John. It's forgetting is actually, there's new research coming out that forgetting is actually maybe a positive mechanism, maybe developed over time, that helps humans to adapt.
What hurt in your past won't fade because of this condition?
Everything. And of course, everyone experiences hurt. Like when one is cut, they naturally bleed. But any loud noises, any sort of situations that may have been uncomfortable in my life have never faded. There was one instance where I was coming home late one night with one of my very best friends, and no, please forgive me. We were held at gunpoint in an attempted robbery. They didn't succeed in getting away with anything, and luckily we were unharmed. But there was a moment where I basically stepped between her and the gun, and things like that. For example,
You're experiencing that now.
Yes,
as though it's happening right now.
Yes, but I always relive that, and in a way, and the most important thing, just like anything else, from breakups to, you know, to people passing your life, to someone, robbing you, or trying to, everything must be understood for what it is. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that I don't have the luxury of forgetting the nuances of potentially negative things, I don't think there's an experience I've had in my life that I wasn't able to eventually acquire wisdom from. And it's that wisdom that I try to attach to every moment.
Do you think participating in the University of California Irvine study will help provide insights about how the brain does memory normally or in any way?
I absolutely do. I've been a part of the study for 7 years now, and one of the biggest stepping stones for me was having a name for it. And I went to many doctors, and the issue was that if the condition is not in, for example, the DSM-5, which is the standard catalog of conditions, then doctors would be disinclined to explore any further. So when I originally started that study, the biggest relief to me, in a way, was being able to put a name on something. And then from there, you can manage it, and you can then have power over it and use it for better.
Do you think you would miss this if it went away tomorrow?
You know, I've been asked this recently, John, and in all honesty, if you would have asked me this question 15 years ago and just started me 10 years ago, I probably would have said no. I certainly would not have been sure because I wasn't exactly in a place of understanding what I was dealing with. But I've reached a place where I appreciate what I have been given, either by chance or by any number of factors. And I've now transformed that into a force of personal spiritual growth.
Well, Nima, thank you very much for speaking with us.
No, I appreciate it, John, and thank you for having me.
Nima Vese is an academic researcher at the George Washington University. He's also a professional painter who goes by the name Enigma of New York. You can see more of his work. Just go to thetakeaway.org.